George Woods and Betsy Green.
Yeah?
I know all about you two.
I do.
I should do. And then these meetings.
Yeah?
From time to time, and keep an eye on you, see what's up to.
Okay.
No idea what goes on here behind the scenes, one way or another. Cool stuff, and paraphernalia, and umpteen things going on all at the same time. Amazing animal can speak at all.
Well, she did, that'd be interesting.
Frost.
Your name is Frost?
My name is Alfred Frost.
Alfred Frost?
Yes, right. Alfred.
Yeah.
Is my name.
Yeah.
You're Betty.
Yeah.
George.
That's right.
Yeah. I've known you for years.
Well, really?
In a kind of way I have. But not as long as all that. I've been coming several times lately and watching the way things are done. Promising myself an opportunity to have a few words with you and let you know a few tips, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a talk, Mr. Frost?
Oh, I don't know about giving a talk. What
are you doing on that side, Mike? Mr. Frost?
Any relation to Frost?
What was any relation?
Yeah, Betty and Mr. Frost that we met you last week.
Say
that.
Yeah. Someone else you know that.
I'm very active.
Hmm? Very active?
I'm very active, I am.
Yes?
I go all over the place. When it, I feel inclined. Not that one can do very much. When you want to try and help someone, of course you do what you can, but it's not always possible. Can't force anyone to say or do anything if they don't want to do it. You can try and impress them as best you can, but most people are very, so caught up in their own daily lives and their ideas, and very few people know of this. And when they do know, I don't think it makes all that much difference to a lot of them. I would have thought by now everyone would have understood to some extent about life after death. And people got these weird ideas. Even the so-called religious people seem to me are no wiser or better off. Mm. Got some funny ideas.
Did you know about it, Mr. Frost?
No, not really. Well, other lot more people I'd heard about it, but I never went into it, and I thought it's probably a lot of nonsense anyway.
How did it affect?
I remember donkeys years ago in some Sunday paper, I think it was, or some paper, there was a whole series of articles about some clergyman had written about life after death. Someone called Owen, I think his name was. A peculiar name he had. I didn't know whether to take it in or not, and I thought, well, you think a man like that should know, and he wouldn't fool anyone, but it all seemed so odd to me. Well, I wasn't terribly interested, but I was interested in the articles, but I didn't really know whether to believe it or not, make much head or tail of it. Do you know Hatfield?
Hatfield?
I used to live in Hatfield.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
A number of years I lived there in Harpenden. I moved about a little bit in my early years. I went to sea when I was a lad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's many years ago now. Things have changed. The world's changed.
Mr. Frost, when you did pass over, how did you, how were you affected? I mean.
Oh, I don't know. I was out in the garden doing some bit of gardening and feeling as right as rain I was. Pleasant, happy day it was. I always like to get out in the garden and do a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember was feeling a bit giddy and that was it. I remember my daughter She came out up the garden to call me, for a cup of tea, and she saw me lying on the path there. Of course, by that time I'd gone, you see.
Yes.
I could see her. I stood there, and it dawned on me almost immediately what had happened, and I have been told since that sometimes people don't realise they did, but I knew almost, well, instinctively or whatever it is, I could see myself lying down on the path, and I saw my daughter come out, and she saw me lying there, and she let out a yell, and she dropped the cup saucer and ran down, and of course by that time I was gone, you see, but...
Yes.
Oh, it was upset too, because I was living with my daughter, you see, my married daughter. My wife had passed over some years ago, and I remember only too well, just after my daughter found me, my wife appeared to me, and she was all smiling like a young girl. She looked at first, I didn't even recognize her. That was the funny part about it. And I suppose it's because in my own mind I'd always thought of her as an old lady, you see. And it took me quite a few, I suppose, minutes of time, I don't know how long it might have been, before I gathered my wits and realized who it was. Oh, was it due that day, I tell you. And of course, they come and carry me inside, and oh dear. And my son-in-law, he was there. Actually, he'd been out, you see. My daughter was all on her own. He was out somewhere. I think he'd gone to a match or something, if I remember right. Of course, it was a proper to-do, and then they took me away, and I was in, it was a funeral. And I always remember my daughter coming out into the garden, and she picked some roses and she put them on my coffin.
Oh, yes.
Of course, this is going back a number of years now, before the war this was.
Yeah.
You know, I was, I don't know, sort of all mixed up inside. I tried, of course, in my own way to let her know I was there, but she didn't understand. Nobody does, you know, that's the trouble. I think that's the worst part of dying, if you ask me, is the fact that people you love, you try to contact them, you try to tell them you're all right, try to cheer them up, and you're feeling so marvellous yourself, and there's all the people you love all upset, and you're dying to get to them, you might say, and cheer them up and make them know what's what. Nobody takes any notice. It's a terrible thing. I think the worst part of dying for the people who die, from what I can say of it, is the state of the people left behind who don't know a thing. In spite of all the religion, they don't know anything, they don't teach anything, they don't prove anything. That's why, in a way, the spiritualists are the only bunch that try to do something. And there again, of course, a lot of the mediums that... Well, I've used that for the first few months. I went to various churches or places, you call them, where they meet, you know, but didn't have much success. And I was hoping I might have got some sort of message out, but all that's frustrating, if you like, that is. Although there again, one shouldn't say it, one should be grateful to the fact there are people who do know something and do try. And of course there are good mediums. I've been coming here for the last few weeks getting an eyeful, trying to get myself sort of sorted out a bit and open, you know, being of some help.
Doing very well.
But I must say it's all very interesting, and at the same time it's still a bit odd speaking, isn't it?
Mr. Frost, what did you do after the funeral? Did your wife take you off somewhere? Or
oh dear. Yes, well, once the funeral was over and it didn't seem anything to hold on to. I mean, there was no more body there, you know, and sorry, not that I was that interested in the body, but I suppose to some extent, while I was still in a strange kind of way linked with a body, well, perhaps not that so much. I think it was more, I was sort of linked with my daughter and the rest of the people, you know, family. Not that I would, only got my daughter really left, of course. Mm-hmm. She'd got no children. And she always was a good girl. And I wanted to cheer her up. That was my main interest. But of course, it was useless. And my son-in-law was quite a decent fellow, but Well, I thought there was no point in staying hanging around. Anyway, my wife and me, and I met a lot of other people, of course, we decided to get out of the way. There's no point in hanging about. Then my wife brought me, well, I suppose the kind of way she did, but anyway, she seemed the one that was most responsible. But there were a lot of other people, of course, helping. And then we came together here, and we're very happy, and I live in, I suppose you'd call it that sounds stupid to say a block of flats, because it's not a block of flats really in a way, but there's vast places, you know, I suppose you could call them a kind of communal centre, where hundreds and hundreds of people live, but everyone's so much in harmony, see, that it doesn't matter. In fact, a lot of us prefer it. There are people who have their own little places and prefer it that way, I suppose, but I'm quite happy. I always was a good mixer. I always got on well with people, and I was never the argumentative sort, but then of course over here there's no need for that. We're all so much in tune, and it's wonderful how we get together and all sorts of things one can do, and I'm still very fond of the garden, and there's a beautiful, well actually it's like as if it's built, not in a square exactly, but in the centre is a vast expanse of beautiful ground and flowers, and there's fountains playing, and even children. These are children that recently passed over, that have come here, that are being cared for. There's a whole section devoted to children where they're cared for, where there are perhaps no relations or parents in particular. Over here the children are looked after by people who love children. My wife was always fond of children, and so she takes a section of the children, and then there are those who teach. There's big schools here, but they're not schools in the same sense, I suppose, as you understand it. They have various methods of education, but this is there again, not material education, it's a spiritual education, but there are aspects, I suppose, of material, inasmuch that they're taught about life, as was lived on earth, and history, and implications of self, but it's all very difficult to put into words. I don't think we can, you know. Wonderful country surroundings and those lovely flowers everywhere. And the children are very happy, play.
And you help with the children yourself, do you?
No, I don't have a lot to do with the children really myself, because I'm fond of them, but there are experts here, people who specialise, you know.
Do you do any special work yourself?
Well, I know this must sound stupid to you, but I was always very interested myself in carving. I always would have liked to have been, well, I was in a kind of way a carpenter, but not professional. I always admired beautiful carving and would have liked to have been able to have made when on earth furniture and things like that. So I take a great interest in that, and I do carving and I make what it is, furniture. You see, there's another thing I should imagine. A lot of people just don't appreciate or realize that things are real, solid to us, just as everything is in your world. And we have substances that grow, substances that we can use, and these things are solid. We can use those things. We can have tools for creating and helping to create things, carving in my case, you see. And it's something that gives me great pleasure. Some people seem to think that over here all you do is think and there it is. Well, that's just plain stupid. I know that in a strange kind of way this can happen under certain conditions. But once people think like that, I think it gives them a false idea. I think people should get the realization that this is a real world. Actually, of course, in a way, it's a world among many worlds on different levels. and that on each level of consciousness and life, that world for you is a reality and a solid one. And there are substances, all manner of substances, which are used and can be used for construction. There are people who love to design and build, and people who are quite happy using their hands, and I love to use mine in creating what I feel is something of benefit, something of beauty, and I can use my own personality in it, you see, and express myself. If people think that all you do is just thinking there it is, they've got a shortcoming. Because believe me, they'll be living for a short space of time in a purely mental world which has no foundation. A lot of people are going to be very disappointed, I think, if they think all they want is going to be automatically here waiting for them. They'll find you have to work for it just the same. You have to do your share. It isn't just there because you want it, it's there because you've made it possible. Yeah. Quite a different thing, you know. But I suppose people in your world, even the sinless spiritualists, there's a lot of wishful thinking on their part, you know.
Frozen.
Have you been in any higher planes of order at all?
No, I wouldn't say it's just because I'm content, although it's perfect to say I am content. I don't feel any particular urge to go any further, as you call it, and I don't suppose I shall until such time as I've made it possible, even perhaps almost in an unconscious way. I think it's the truth, you know, to say that we progress so slowly that we're not altogether aware or conscious of that change. It's so too subtle. It's as if you go on for what I suppose would be a long time to you, I don't know, but years not being what they are with us as they are with you, but this business of people who come and talk in an highfalutin way and how highly progressed they are. I'm not suggesting that there's not truth in that. There are many great souls, highly progressed, of course, who've been here for centuries upon centuries, and you'd expect them to progress anyway. But the average person, like myself, who's only been here a few years, we're in a condition or an environment which is best suited to us, and which we are happy because that is obviously the right place for us to be. It's not some super duper kind of place and all very highfalutin and far removed. It's a world which in many senses is very like the earth. We have many of the things that you associate with earth, that is things that are essential or necessary or things that are natural. Of course, we don't need machinery as such. That's another thing. If a person creates, whether it's like me with my carving or in some other way, you don't have machines, you don't have factories. This is an individual thing, something part of oneself, an expressing of oneself. And it's as real to us as your things are to you. But this is individual. This is not business. We don't have big business, we don't have factories, machinery, we don't have buses and trams and trains. Those things are purely material of your world. But we have methods of getting about. But then again, this is something which is from within ourselves. When we understand ourselves a little better, so we lighten, as it were, ourselves in a conscious kind of way. And that which would have seemed perhaps difficult or heavy going is simplified, and there's no effort. You see, everything is within yourself. When people can understand that everything is within yourself as to what you are, what you will do, and what you'll become, then things become a little bit more understandable and more rational. Of course, there are, it's true to say, there are people who, because of the state of their mind, are in an environment not so very far removed from Earth, because they are holding themselves down by these material thoughts. And they do have many things that you associate with Earth, but these are merely figments, you might say, of their own thought and imagination. Hence, its thought is creative, more so here than even on your side. It can have a kind of well, state of being, if you like, in which you seem to be living, which really is a dream state of a kind. In fact, it's not really an awakening of the spirit at all. It's really a condition of life which you've accustomed yourself to by your thoughts, made possible by your thoughts. But this is a transitional stage. This is, I suppose, what the Catholics call purgatory or something, or limbo, or whatever you like. It's a sort of intermediary stage which can and does exist for some people. Indeed, I would say that in some cases this is necessary, probably must be, but this is not a reality. This is a merging of your world consciousness. It's a sort of dreamlike quality state of being which affects in certain types of individuals who've been so materialistic in their outlook that they can't help themselves and not ready yet, and other souls from higher spheres have to come and do a lot of work to get them out of that condition which they found themselves, really which they created for themselves. You see, if only you could see around your world, it's as if there are varying degrees of life, some interwoven or entwined with your world, where there's a weird mixture of living in almost, you might say, two worlds in one. That's where you get your hauntings from. That's where you get these souls who are close to earth in their mentality, that at certain times, under certain conditions, they become visible to people on your side who are probably not spiritualistic or anything like that at all, but who do see there are moments of time when it is feasible under certain conditions for certain souls, earthbound souls, to become quite physical or visible. Indeed, if any people realize that the power of the mind is such, that anything is possible, nothing is impossible to those who understand a bit more. I'm beginning to realize more and more that there are tremendous things which could be done and achieved, and even by people in your world, if only they'd be cooperative and turn their minds a little bit towards spirit. You see, that's the tragedy. Worlds become more and more materialistic and less interested in things of the spirit and the mind, you know.
Yes.
The tragedies of your world are what man's created by wrong thinking. I mean, look at this terrible business the other week of that young man that killed like that. There's a state of mind of the people that's brought it about. The conditions around that country are appalling. It's like a pool of, well, it was, matter of fact, we know this, and I'm going to tell you, as in the nature of a prophecy, there are going to be some pretty terrible things happening there before very long, and it's going to be almost like a revolt. I think that there's going to be so much going on that, well, I think there's going to be such upheavals in this country. It's terrible to think about, because the innocent will be the ones who suffer most. Always is the way, of course, and oh yes, the world's in a shocking state. I'm jolly glad to be out of it. I must come and speak to you again apart.
Very nice of you.
Anyway, it's nice to speak to you, Mr. George Wood and Mrs. Betty Green.
Thank you, Mr.
Wood. I can come another day.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye-bye.